Today's presenters is Susan Flynn and Nikolai Nielsen. Susan joined the Western Commerce Technical Practice as a solution architect in 2006. Susan's prior experience with Western Commerce included designing and developing components and solutions for several customer projects. Nikolai Nielsen joined the Western Commerce Technical Practice as a solution architect in 2006 at the IBM Hersley Lab. Before this, he designed and implemented Western Commerce-based solutions for 5 years as a consultant with IBM Global Services in Denmark. At this time, I'd like to turn the presentation over to Susan and Nikolai.
Oh, thank you, Elijah. This is Nikolai Nielsen, and I will start off by presenting, giving an overview of Watson Feature Pack 301 containing IBM Management Center. Then I will go on to describe the overall architecture of the Management Center and describe the different types of complexities of customizations as well as the skill sets required to customize it. After that, Susan will take us through some more details about customizations and a specific scenario for customization. Can we go to slide 3, please? So, Feature Pack 301 builds upon Feature Pack 3. It generally adds the ability to customize the management center as well as a few other features. If you do not currently have Feature Pack 3, you can just go ahead and install Feature Pack 301. It does not require Feature Pack 3. On this slide, there are some links on where you can download it and information about installing it. Please note that you cannot directly download it. You will be asked to fill out a form with details about your site, and then you will be contacted by an IBM representative who will then decide if the feature pack fits your environment. Slide 4, please. So the overall architecture of the management center, as you can see in the figure on the right, in the top, we have the Management Center client. That's a Swift file running inside the Adobe Flash Player in the user's browser. It communicates with Web3 Commerce through the Management Center web application. The web application's primary responsibility is to transform or mediate between the Management Center client and the rest of Web3 Commerce. The reason for this is that the Management Center communicates or sends requests to Web3 Commerce as simple HTTP request with name value pair parameters. And then the Management Center web application will then transform that into service requests into the component service layer of Web3 Commerce. It will transform all the parameters in the HTTP request into a bot message that's then sent to the component service. And vice versa, when a bot message is returned from the component services, the web application will then transform that into a more simple structured XML response. The reason for that is that a bot is a rather complex object based on the OEGIS standard, so it's very verbose, and that's not very suitable for a lightweight Flash application. So the web application will transform that into a more simple XML document. Slide 5, please. So the technology is used in the Management Center. As I mentioned, the Management Center is a Flash application, but it's not developed. You do not customize it using the Adobe Flash IDE. Instead, it's using OpenLaszlo, which is an open source platform for creating rich and internet applications. OpenLaszlo can compile applications both to Flash, as we're using in the Management Center, and as rich HTML or AJAX applications. The program environment or the language used is called LZX. It's an XML-based object-oriented language. Since it's XML-based, it's declarative, but actions are specified using JavaScript. The Management Center framework, as it shifts with Feature Pack 3 and 301, builds upon the OpenLaszlo framework and adds some very rich user interface components. We will go into that in more detail later. I think that's it. Yeah, slide 6, please. So here we can see on the right two screenshots of the Management Center. And the reason I've included these is to give an overview of the different components, if you will, a user interface component of the Management Center. So we have a concept of a Management Center shell. That's everything that's not tied to a specific tool. So that's things like session handling, logging in and logging out, as well as the menu we can see on the top screenshot, giving access to the various tools and also user preferences like preferred language, etc. On top of that are the tools. In Feature Pack 3, we have three tools, a catalog tool, a marketing tool, and a promotion tool. And each of these tools manipulate objects for those various areas. And then underpinning everything, we have what we refer to as a management center foundation. So these are all the user interface widgets and utility classes that I alluded to in the previous slide. These base classes are then extended when you create new tools or when the lab created the existing three tools. Next slide, please. On slide 7, we have an overview of the main concepts that's important to understand when you customize the management center. We have the concept of an object, which is what you would expect in a regular object-oriented architecture. They're split into three types of objects. So there's a primary object. That's an object that exists in its own right. So that's a thing like a product or a category. Then there are child objects. These objects that do not exist in their own rights, but they are referred to as separate objects. So those are things that are aggregated into primary objects. For example, the example here in the slide is an attribute, for example, a defining attribute. And then finally, we have reference objects. These are objects that, well, they do exist in their own right, but their only purpose is to tie together two primary objects. The example here is the merchandising association that references or ties together a product to an item or various items together. An object definition, that is, in regular object-oriented terms, a class. That defines how an object looks, what kind of child, if it's a primary object, what kind of child objects and what kind of reference object it refers to. It also defines the actions that can be performed. So in Java terms, that's the methods. These actions are then defined, as I mentioned earlier, in JavaScript. And then finally, we have what's referred to as a business object editor. That's a slightly confusing term. It sounds like something that should be in an integrated development environment. But what that really is a base class for any tool. So the three tools that exist currently in the management center, the catalog tool, the promotion tool, and the marketing tool, they all extend from the business object editor, and they are referred to as the object editor. Next slide, please. So on slide 8, we go into an overview of the, well, slide 8 and the following slides, we have an overview of the user interface of the management center. So on the screenshot here, we can see the management center open with the catalog tool. And on the top left, we have the menu bar, which is a pretty standard menu bar where you can access all of the actions using the drop-down menu. Then we have the toolbar that contains both general icons that are valid throughout the application. For example, there are icons for copying and pasting objects and saving the current object if you have done any changes to it, but also specific icons that are only specific in the current context. And then on the top right, it's a little difficult to see in this screenshot, but highlighted in blue, there's a store list. So that's a drop-down list that will contain all the stores that the current instance of the management center can support. So changing the store on this list also changes the objects that you can manipulate. So in this screenshot, it's hard to tell, but it's a consumer directory selected. So what we have in the main area of the screen is the master catalog for the consumer direct store. Slide 9, please. Here we go into the main area of the management center. So on the left, we have a pretty standard explorer type view. It contains a tree view of what the current tool is manipulating. This is still the catalog tool. So what we have here is the master catalog for the consumer direct store. And we can see the different categories underlined in a tree view, basically. On the right-hand side, we see the find area, which is just below the store list. That allows you to search for the objects that the current tool manipulates. So in this case, you can search for categories and catalog entries. These will then show in the main area in the list view you can see in the middle. And below the find area, we have the utilities view. The utilities view can be thought of as a clipboard. You can drag and drop various objects into the utilities view and then drag them out of the utilities view when you need to use them. A good example of the use of the utilities view is if you're creating merchandising associations. So in that case, if you're creating associations to or from a specific product, you would start by dropping that product into the utilities view, and then for each of the products that this product should have a merchandising association to, you would open that product and then drag the product from the utilities view onto the merchandising association edit widget inside the main view. If we go to slide 10, we can see the last part of the management sensor. So this is the main work area. On the top, we see the list view. That's a pretty standard list of objects, of primary objects for the current tool. In this case, we're still in the catalog tool, so these are products. It works pretty much like the list view, the corresponding list view in the accelerator. You can see each of the products, and the columns define what you can see. You can edit in place in the list view, and if you double-click on one of the items in the list view, the properties view below it will open. The properties view can be thought of as the corresponding wizard in the accelerator. In this case, it would be the product edit wizard in the accelerator. But instead of having different pages, we have different tabs inside the properties view. Slide 11, please. So, as I already mentioned, the management center client communicates with the commerce server through the management center web application. But instead of having each tool build up the connection string and pass the resulting XML message from the management center web app, there's a class called WCS service that handles building the request URL and passing the response. There's a lot of other classes in the foundation that implement the service class for different types of services. The management center defines a number of services. I believe there's an area of 10 or 15 different types of services. The examples here are create and update, delete and search, but there are also things like get or search. Our search also in there, but there's a lot of other different classes of services that can be used. Slide 12, please. So, the management center web application. As I already mentioned, it's a mediator between the client and commerce itself. It consists of a service filter, a client library, a number of strut actions, and a number of GSPs. The service filter its main purpose is to handle authentication. So it ensures that any HTTP request that comes in corresponds to a user that has the appropriate authority to execute whatever service is being executed. And the client library in the bottom is really a wrapper or a Java facade between the web application and the component services. This enables the scenario, a possible future scenario of deploying the web management center web application on a different server. In that case, the client library could be exchanged and changed to a client library that does remote calls. No, this is not currently supported, but it's a possible future direction. And as already mentioned, the management center does the mediation, so it changes an HTTP request into a service call with a bot message and transforms the return bot message into a more simple XML response. Slide 13, please. I guess I already covered this in the previous slide, so we can go to slide 14. So in slide 14 and 15, I will go into more details about two major types of requests and how they're handled inside the Management Center web application. First, we'll look at a GET request. The GET request is, well, what it sounds like. The management center needs to understand or get the details about a specific object, for example, the details of a product. So it issues a GET request towards the management center. Maybe I should say that the bullets you see on this slide, they're actually originally numbered, so they correspond to the numbers in the graph. If you follow this with the PDF file, you will actually see the correct numbering. So the first thing that happens is that the service filter will inspect the authentication token that's exchanged between the management center client and the web application and verify that the user has the authority to execute the given action. The request is then forwarded to the appropriate slot section, which will then forward simply to a response DSP. That's the one in the text referred to as a GET controller DSP. This DSP contains a number of GET data tags that corresponds to services that are then executed inside Commerce. The resulting bot message is then picked up by the response DSP. And instead of the response DSP then converting that directly into an XML response, the response DSP will invoke one or more serialization DSPs to actually serialize that bot message into a management center XML response. Next slide, please. On slide 15, we have the other major type of request. So that's a manipulation request, create, update, or delete a given object in Commerce. Excuse me. So as before, the management center client will execute the request. The server filter will check authentication, will forward to the appropriate start section. And then instead of forwarding to a GET controller DSP, the start section will directly invoke the service via the client library. It will get the bot message get the return bot from Commerce, and then forward to a simple response DSP that will then send an XML response back to the management center client. The reason we don't need a serialization DSP in this case is that the type of response that is sent back from a create, update, delete request is very simple. It's not a complex business object. It's more a response in the type success or failure. So we don't need a specific serialization DSP for the various different types of responses. Slide 16, please. Okay, I will now go into more details about what kind of skills you need to customize the management center and also give an idea of how complex the different types of actions, of the different types of customizations are for the management center. Slide 17. So as I already mentioned several times, the management center client is a Flash application, but we don't use the Adobe Flash application framework, development environment for customizing it. Instead, we customize it using OpenLaslo. And since OpenLaslo is XML-based and JavaScript-based, those are the two major technologies that you need to understand in order to be able to customize the management center. And it's object-oriented, so that's also a very useful concept to understand. And obviously, you need to understand the Commerce data model, because those are, in fact, the objects that you're manipulating. And also left out from this slide is the fact that since we're manipulating objects on a business object level, it's also very valuable to understand the whole concept of business object in Commerce, what we're referring to as bots, because that's basically what we are manipulating. On the server side, if you are doing a customization that requires changes in the management center web application, for example, if you are creating a new service for retrieving a title object that's not currently used in the management center, you need to understand things like struts, how to manipulate JSPs and code with JSTL, and all the other skills you need in order to develop on Commerce. So you need to understand Commerce services, because that is the recommended approach for invoking invoking commands from the management center. And if you're using the older style SOI services, you obviously also need to understand the command framework, as that's what SOI is using. Slide 18. So I assume that very few in this call actually have the Open Laszlo knowledge already. So these are a few good resources for learning Open Laszlo. Obviously, there's a source. So on openlaszlo.org, that is where Open Laszlo is hosted, basically. So that's a pretty good online reference there. There's a good developer guide and a number of tutorials that you can run through to get a flavor of what basic Open Laszlo consists of. And also the book Laszlo in Action by Klein, Carlson, and Al. It's also a very good introduction to Open Laszlo itself. Currently scheduled for August 2008. I'm not sure that will actually hold, but that is the current plan. It's a red book that goes into much more detail about customizing the line of business tooling, the management center, and goes through a number of very interesting scenarios. So look forward to that one, and once it comes, there will be a very good learning resource for understanding management center customizations. And also, there are currently quite a lot of info center topics on the management center, and that's easily found by searching for management center in the info center. I know Susan also has a lot of links in her part of the presentation. Slide 19, please. So, complexity of customizations. I'm trying to categorize the customization into three categories. So that is simple customization that do not require too much design work up front, which most people with a basic understanding of the concept that I had on the previous slide on Open Laszlo will be able to do without much help. And then we have a more complex, medium, and high complexity customization that require thorough design work up front to make sure that the customizations are actually supported in the management center and that you're using best practices when developing. And then finally, we have, in the spirit of Tour de France, we have an auto category type of customization. So if you're planning on implementing features that are currently in the plan for future releases of management of the center, that's obviously a very special case. I'll get into more details about that on a future slide. Slide 20, please. So simple customization, that's things like changing the UI. So if you want to change the text on a label in the UI, if you want to, a simple customization that requires more work is a thing like introducing a new language in the UI, or changing the language from US English to UK English if you're so inclined, or rearranging existing content. So for example, rearranging the order of fields in the product wizard, or moving fields to different tabs, or introducing a new tab with where you move some of the existing fields into, or hiding some of the fields. These are all kinds of relatively simple customizations that do not require a lot of design work up front. And as such, you don't really need involvement from IBM. But we do encourage that you involve software services for WebSphere, at least for the first engagement, to ensure that you are following best practices. On slide 21, we go into the more complex customization scenarios. So medium complex scenarios are things like integrating to third-party applications or creating adding fields that are not currently in the commerce schema. Those are medium to high type of customizations. And then the very complex type of customization, things like creating a new UI component. I don't really have the imagination to think of what you wanted to introduce, but if, for example, you wanted to add a graphical type UI component where you edit a diagram directly in the management center. Or if you were to create a completely new tool, such as a customer service representative tool, those are very complex customization scenarios. And for any of these, we do highly recommend that you team with IBM to make sure that what you're doing is following best practices, but also that you are you're developing in line with what's supported, because as Susan will come into later on in the presentation, there are a number of restricted files in the management center. So there are a number of things you cannot do when you're customizing. You cannot change an existing component, for example, if you wanted a rich text, the existing rich text editor to look slightly different. That's not supported, and if you start doing that, you will have problems with future maintenance, with future fix packs. And then, of course, the out-of-category type customization I mentioned earlier. Now, that one is obviously a little more difficult because there's no place where we have a complete list of future features, and even if it existed, we couldn't really share it outside of IBM. So in those cases, if you suspect that you are going to introduce something that might be a future management center release, to team with IBM on that. And identifying things like that, there's some pretty obvious examples. If there's a feature in the accelerator that's not currently in the management center, that is obviously a candidate for future management center releases. So do talk to IBM before you start planning things like that on your own. Next slide. Okay, that concludes my part of the presentation. And I'll turn over to Susan, who will go into a specific scenario and more details of what you can and cannot do when you customize the management center. Susan?
Okay, thank you very much, Nikolai. We're going to now take a look at the customization of the management center in more detail. We're going to look through some different customization scenarios, an overview of how the customizations are performed, and we'll also discuss some best practices related to customization. Slide 23, please. We'll take a look at how the customizations are performed. So this section will cover the concepts on how to perform customizations in the management center. And as Nikolai mentioned earlier, customizations can be performed for both the management center client and the management center web application. We'll take a look at the organization of the LOB tools project within the WC Developer Toolkit layout. We'll also discuss what the restricted files are and how they may impact your project work. We'll talk about development assets and folder locations. We'll discuss the business object editor and user interface components. And we'll also discuss how to extend resource bundles for multiple language support. Finally, we'll take a look at the description and location of some additional files, such as the mediator tools and configuration files. Note that in this section, we'll use the warranty scenario as an example on how to perform some of the customizations. This scenario is actually documented as a tutorial in the Webster Commerce Info Center. So for those of you who want to go through that tutorial, you can find it in the Webster Commerce Info Center, and you'll be able to perform the steps that you'll see illustrated here in some of the screenshots. Next slide, please, slide 24. This is the organization of the LOB tools project in the Commerce Developer Toolkit layout. So looking at the illustration on the left side, you can see as you drill down through the various types of projects where you'll wind up to actually edit or locate the files for the LOB tools project. That corresponds to the Management Center. Management Center files include Open Laszlo source files, images, HTML pages, properties files, struts action classes, JSPs, configuration files, and of course the Management Center SWF or Flash file. The Open Laszlo files are compiled by the Open Laszlo compiler into the Flash file, which is what runs on the client's browser. Other files that you see are part of the Management Center web application, which runs on the server. Slide 25, please. We'll now take a look at the Open Laszlo restricted files. As you can see from the illustration on the left-hand side, there are various folders, and those that are labeled restricted contain the files that you should not modify. You should probably see several of these depending on the tools that you're working in. The files under the restricted directories contain class definitions for the basic functionality that's common to all of the tools within the Management Center. Again, those tools being the catalog tool, the promotion tool, and the marketing tool. And files within the restricted directories could be replaced if you were to install Webster Commerce fixes or as you migrate to additional releases. So therefore, we don't want you to change those files because they'll probably be overwritten. Okay, slide 26, please. We'll now take a look at some of the user interface widgets. These are the elements that make up the user interface in the Management Center. So you'll see a lot of these as you look through the Management Center, and you'll also probably want to incorporate some of these add additional elements to properties and so forth using these various UI widgets. Most of these are rather self-explanatory, but a couple that are worth mentioning or talking about in a little bit more detail are the rich text editor, which you can see as the large box on the bottom right corner there. It says, I think, long description. And that acts as a rich text editor to allow you to have different types of fonts, italicize or bold, that sort of thing. There's also the calendar view, which is shown in the upper right corner as well. And that allows events such as campaigns to be scheduled and are easily visualized by the business user. There's also the list view, which you can see in the bottom left corner, an example of that. And that's very common in the catalog tool, and it displays a list of objects, such as products that belong to a category. Okay, slide 27, please. We'll now take a look at the Business Object Editor. Each tool in the Management Center contains the Business Object Editor, which allows the business users to create and maintain the Management Center objects that they're working with. The WCF Business Object Editor class is the base class that all the Management Center tools must extend. It's the main widget within the Management Center framework and includes various low-level widgets that make up the framework. The Management Center Object Editor includes support for several parts of the Management Center user interface. And it contains things like a menu bar, toolbar, the store selection widget, the find area, explorer view, main work area, utilities view, and context menu. Okay, slide 28, please. We'll now take a look at some of the main UI pieces that can be customized. First, we'll take a look at the explorer view. So the Explorer view contains a tree with nodes that can be selected, expanded, and collapsed. And it controls what is actually displayed in the main work area. If you were to add a new tool to the Management Center, for example, if you were to add something along the lines that at the level of the catalog promotion or marketing tool, then you would need to define an OpenLASLO library class for the top object definition in the Explorer view. You would also need to create your own directory structure under the directory structure you can see there. And I see the link is probably clipped on your display, but it should be okay in the PDF file. So that is where you would actually put your top object definition. You can refer to the Info Center under the topic of defining top object definitions in the Explorer view for more information on how to perform this type of customization, which I'll add is one of the more complex types of customizations that you would need to do. Okay, slide 29, please. Continuing with the description of the main UI pieces that can be customized, we'll now take a look at the list view. This is one of the views displayed in the main work area. A list view lists the objects in the form of a table. We already took a look at that a little bit when I was describing the UI widgets earlier. The list view definitions are typically modified to include new columns of information. The files are located in, as you can see in this light green color directory structure under the subdirectory list view definition. In there, you would edit the file to change, for example, the catalog entry grid.lzx file, and for example, you could add a new widget such as a combo box. Again, there's a link at the bottom or a referral to the tutorial in the Info Center on adding new fields to the catalog tool, so you can see how to do that in more detail. Okay, slide 30, please. Continuing with the discussion on the main UI pieces that can be customized, we're now looking at the properties view. This is one of the views that's displayed in the main work area. A properties view shows details about an object, and it's where the business user edits the object. Properties view definitions are typically modified to include new properties for an object. For example, the detailed warranty information that we're going to be looking at and is part of the warranty tutorial in the Info Center. These files are located under the subdirectory called Properties View within that larger directory structure that you see colored in light green text. For example, you may need to change a pane to reference a new property. In that case, you could edit the file catalog-property-pane.lzx to, for example, include a new tab. You may also need to define initial values for the new property through a GUI widget, such as a combo box. To modify the object definition files, you would navigate to that subdirectory called Object Definitions underneath the tool that you're working with, and edit the files to be modified, for example, the product primary object definition.lzx, to actually add new properties values to be displayed. Slide 31, please. And continuing with our discussion on the UI pieces that can be customized, we're now looking at the find area and the utilities view. So business users search for objects by typing in keywords and selecting a search object from a list. You can also use the advanced search option to refine the search. Results are then displayed within the main work area and the utilities view. One type of customization is to extend the out-of-box advanced search dialog to include new properties in the search criteria. In that case, you would extend, for example, the CAT All Catalog Entries Advanced Search Content class, which is located in the file that you see highlighted here. Again, it's clipped on your display, but it should be fully readable in the PDF file. In this case, create a new folder in a file. So you would go underneath this directory structure listed here, the subdirectory being LZX. Extend the existing class and include new widgets, such as combo boxes, radio buttons, etc., to handle the new search properties that you're going to be customizing. Slide 32, please. We'll now talk about object definitions. So Nikolai talked about this earlier in his presentation. So to restate, a Management Center object is an entity that's stored on the WebSphere Commerce server, but it's represented in the Management Center user interface in a way the business user can understand. So business users create, update, and delete Management Center objects using the various tools such as the catalog, marketing, and promotions tools. And product is an example of a Management Center object. Again, objects can be customized within the Management Center web application. New objects can be created, or existing objects can be extended. Or, for example, you may need to do something simple like override an object's existing validation message. Object definition files are actually XML files, and the object definition files are stored in this location underneath the subdirectory object definitions within the tool that they belong to. And to, to restate, again, there are primary and child objects as well as the reference objects. Examples of primary objects, again, are catalog, category, product, and so forth. And child objects are things like the catalog, entry description, attributes, and things that are actually tied to a primary object. Child objects can't exist without a parent object. So there's actually a backup slide in this presentation that has some more detail about primary and child objects that you can look at after the session is over if you wish. Slide 33, please. We'll now talk about object properties. These are expressed in the properties view. Properties view shows all the details about an object, and it's where a business user would edit the object or create a new instance of one. Properties view can contain entry fields, checkboxes, radio buttons, etc., the different UI widgets that we discussed earlier in the presentation. An object property view should be an extension of the WCF object properties class. A properties view can contain multiple tabs to help organize the object's details, and these tabs are an extension of the WCF property tab pane. Properties files are located at the within the subdirectory called properties view underneath the directory structure in the tool that you're working with. Okay, slide 34, please. Okay, we're now going to take a look at the list view definitions for the warranty scenario. So in this case, we're going to take a look at how a list view was modified to display a new column called warranty type. And as we can see, circled in red, I think it should be red or maybe a dark brown color. I'm not sure what it's actually showing as. But you'll see that there's a new column that's been added to this particular list view. In this case, it's called warranty type. And this particular case, the object, as you can see, this is an object that contains child list definitions. Again, a child list is a list of objects belonging to the same parent object. So for this case, we're actually displaying a list of products within a category as an example of the child list. And the list view definitions, again, are located in this directory structure that I included here next to the light bulb. So that's where you would modify list view definitions, and that's if you're working through the warranty scenario, that's one of the files that you'll be modifying. Okay, slide 35, please. So continuing with the warranty scenario and object properties, this is an example of some new properties that are in that warranty tab for an existing object, which in this case is product. So you can see highlighted kind of in a dark color, there's a rectangle. And if you were to click on the warranty tab, that would bring this rectangle area into focus, which is the custom properties for this particular product. As you can see, there are two new properties displayed, warranty term and warranty type. So for the warranty scenario, within that tutorial, the catalog property pane.lzx file was modified to display the warranty tab, and then the product properties view.lzx file was modified to display the two additional customized properties that you see here, warranty term and warranty type. Okay, slide 36, please. We'll also talk about the search definitions for the warranty scenario. So in this case, they've also included some additional search criteria, so you can search for warranty term and warranty type. So this is customizing the advanced search to include more properties of search conditions. And we added some additional user interface widgets. Here, as you can see, these pull-down boxes. And the search definitions are located in the directory here on the fourth bullet point down, underneath the subdirectory called search definition, where tool is the name, and in this case it would be catalog. So that's where you would find the search definition file that you would be working with for the warranty scenario. Slide 37, please. Okay, we'll now discuss resource bundles. So a properties file is a resource bundle that contains translatable text to be displayed on the UI. By using resource bundle file, the text can be localized, translated into different languages, and can handle multiple locales at once. And also, it can be easily modified later. So at a high level, the steps to follow for including new properties files are to create the properties file to manage the translatable text in this location that you see listed here under the first bullet point. Name the folder to indicate that it's used for extended properties. So the naming scheme here, if you can follow along, is described as com.mycompany.commerce.client.lobtools.properties, where my company is the custom directory name that you've assigned to your particular project. Name the properties file with the appropriate locale settings. So for example, if you were working with U.S. English, the locale setting is indicated there as _EN_US. When adding new keys for displayable text, you'd create a properties file and register the properties file in the resource bundle, and then include a reference to the registered properties file in an extension file, such as the extension file that's listed here, catalog extension library.lzx. Again, this matches up with the warranty scenario tutorial that you can work through from the Info Center. At this time, the Management Center does not support more than one language in Feature Pack 3.01, but that will change in the future. So ensure that any customizations that are undertaken on Feature Pack 3.01 will be able to support multiple languages especially if that's a long-term goal of the project. Slide 38, please. We'll now discuss the mediator JSP files. So for the warranty scenario, the mediator or the controller JSP, as it may be called, that processes the get data request is indicated here. It's called get child catalog entry for cataloggroup.jsp. And for the warranty scenario, there are several serializer JSPs that build up the XML response to the Management Center client. And these are included by the mediator or the controller JSP. And those serializer JSP files are located under the subdirectory called serialize within this directory structure you see here under the second bullet point. Whereas the mediator JSP files are located one level up above that. So, for example, in the warranty scenario, they would be underneath the catalog subdirectory in that directory structure. Now, for the warranty scenario, warranty information is added to the catalog entry noun user data element, so there was actually no need to create a custom get data request. One other thing to explain is that when you're actually adding new properties and so forth for objects, you should try to follow the naming convention, which is to name the properties prefixed with X underscore and use the user data element as described above within the noun as the extension point. Okay, slide 39, please. We'll take a look at a custom get data request. So this would need to be some additional work that you would have to do if you define a new object. So in order to retrieve a custom Management Center object, you must add code to enable the Management Center web application to mediate the request. So at a high level, you would create a directory under the web content JSP subdirectory to store your custom files, and make sure that you tag it with a naming scheme. The naming convention is to use something like My Company or come up with a consistent naming directory naming structure. You would create a JSP fragment file named serialize-client-object.jsps, where the client object is actually the name of the new object that you're creating. You would also create a controller or a mediator JSP file with the naming convention of get-client-object.jsp, again, where client object is the name of the new object you're creating. And then within that controller JSP, you'll use JSP directive include to include the serialization fragment. You'll also need to update the struts extension.xml file with the new action forward for the JSP that you've created. And there's more information on this topic, which is a relatively advanced type of customization to be undertaking, called defining retrieval services for custom Management Center objects. Slide 40, please. So in addition, for creating a new object, you'll also need to define the authoring services, such as the create, save, and delete for the Custom Management Center object to the Webster Commerce OAGES service, which consists of first defining the URL parameter mapping to the noun in the BOD request, and then configuring the struts action to indicate the verb and additional processing information. So again, at a high level, what you would need to do is create a mapping XML file in the config subdirectory underneath that directory structure that you see illustrated. So for example, continue with the naming scheme, my company -catalog-client-objects.xml would be for a catalog extension. Within that mapping, you'll specify the noun, and you'll include the modifiable parts and, following best practices, also a user data extension point. You'll create the URL mapping, and then you'll also need to specify the resource bundle to define any error messages. And, of course, you'll need to update the struts extension XML to include the new XML file and create the new business object document struts actions. So, again, this is an advanced topic, and there's more information about how to do this in the Info Center. Slide 41, please. We'll take a quick look at some of the tool configuration files. So the tool configuration files, again, the tools being the catalog, marketing, and promotion tools, such as the get data config.xml and the URL to OAGIS mapping files, are located in this directory structure that you see listed here, where, again, tool is catalog, marketing, or promotion. The customized configuration files, such as get data config.xml and the URL to OAGIS mapping files, would go in the same type of directory structure as listed above, but you'll notice there's a suffix of -ext. So that's where you would put any custom configuration files that you need to create. So note that for the warranty scenario, the getDataConfig.xml file is overridden to invoke the query that will retrieve the new warranty properties for the product. And this file, which is called getDataConfig.xml, will be located in the extension directory that you see listed there. Okay, slide 42, please. Struts configuration files. So, again, the customized struts configuration files take precedence over the out-of-box configuration file, and they are located in the directory that you see there called struts-extensions.xml. And then note that for the warranty scenario, for the Management Center UI, we didn't require any extensions for the struts configurations, because we did not include any new user type of displays. But if you wanted to display the new warranty properties and information on the storefront, for example, the Consumer Direct storefront, then you would probably create a new JSP with the modifications, and then you'd have to add that into the you'd need to modify the struts extension file to include the action forward for the new JSP that you created. Slide 43, please. So to quickly go over best practices, you really need to understand the complexity of the customizations that you may be undertaking, and definitely refer to the Info Center and all available sources to see what types of customizations are currently supported and the complexity level. Follow along with the customization tutorials on the Info Center, as that will help you get familiar with where the code assets are located, including the Mediator JSPs and the various OpenLaszlo files. Again, don't modify files in the restricted folders. Always use the designed extension points, such as the nouns, user, data, built-in extension point, and follow the naming conventions for new properties by prefixing them with X underscore. Follow the recommended deployment procedures. And finally, make sure that you make backup copies of all the out-of-box files that you'll need to change from the Management Center, because as you work through the tutorials or implement customizations, the files that you change could result in errors and crash the Management Center if they're not done properly. So make sure you give yourself a way to recover. Slide 44, please. These are some custom code directories and naming conventions, so you can probably take a look at those separately from this session to get a better idea of what those are. Slide 45, please. So in summary, this presentation provided an overview of the Management Center architecture, introducing the new UI technology called OpenLaszlo. We went over the building blocks, the Management Center client and web application, positioned the Management Center within engagements by describing the required skill set for customizations and discussing the complexity of some sample customizations, and finally we described how the Management Center can be extended or customized. And then we also described the best practices related to customizations. So this concludes our presentation for today, and I would like to turn this over to Elijah. Thank you.
Susan and Nikolai for a great presentation.
We'll take our first question from Vera Shirakuri with Shared Vision Group.
Yeah, I have a question. Do we have any additional promotions or capabilities to create additional promotions than we have in Accelerator, or is it just the same features?
There's a promotions tool within the Management Center, and essentially it's the same types of promotions. I think there's one simple new promotion that's somewhat externalized, if you will. Nikolai, do you recall what that promotion might be?
No, I do recall that there is one additional promotion type, but unfortunately I can't recall the details of it now.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same, but there is one additional simple one, maybe some type of buy one, get one, or something along those lines, but you can check in the Info Center and find out what those might be.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Once again, that is star one to ask a question. We'll pause again for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal. And it does appear that there are no further questions. Mr. Robertson, please go ahead.
At this time, we'll conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation. We hope you will join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the Webster Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on the site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Susan and Nikolai, for presenting today.
Thank you. Bye-bye.